think a lot of edited photos, they're beautiful, no doubt. They're just almost flawless to the point where it doesn't look natural. And one of the nicest things about film is that you can allow for a little bit of graininess and a little bit of maybe, depending on if you wanted a certain blur, it actually looks intentional. And I'm not sure that I see too many edited photos that want to look like that. They can be successful, but there is something there that I think you can try pretty close to replicate it, but I don't know.
The Kodak moments of days past have transformed into a limitless number of selfies and status updates. So in the age of Instagram, is there room left for darkroom photography? This is Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. I'm your host, Steve Fast. The analog process of shooting film and developing that film is still something that is taught and learned. But why still do it? To talk about the benefit, let's go to our expert.
I'm Bernadette Cash, and I've been asked to teach darkroom photography for beginners here at Heartland.
What kind of background do you have with photography?
It all started actually in high school. I would take my dad's old Minolta camera, and I learned darkroom photography there on a very basic level. But I think I've always had a fascination. I think I've gone through a series of film cameras from childhood on up, and from the Kodak Instamatic, which is like a Polaroid, to the little small skinny 110 cameras. And I do remember going on my bike, dropping it off at the drugstore, waiting for a week to come back and pick them up and see what they were like. But yeah, I think it's always started with that. But honestly, a lot of my photography experience has been developed here at Heartland.
Tell me about that. Did you take classes here? How did Heartland have a role in your photography interest and skills?
Sure. I saw one of those booklets out that were in the mail. And it was for continuing education for, I believe it was Introduction to Digital Photography. That year, that was when the Nikon D7000 came out. And I got my hands on one. But I realized, wow, I don't really want to have this nice expensive camera just to put it on automatic. So I figured I could read a lot of things on the internet, but I thought it would be helpful to take a class and do this hands-on. And I started with one class, and I think quickly afterwards they offered an intermediate. And then I thought, well, this was all they had at the continuing ed, but I realized that I looked at Heartland's class schedules, and they offered a digital photography as a semester-long class. So I started taking Digital 1, then Digital 2. I think I did Photography 1, which is the introduction to film photography. I did that actually for two semesters. I liked it that much. And Photography 2. And then I liked it so much, I wanted to be back in the darkroom. I did independent study for a few semesters after that.
So really, you started out taking that next step with digital and then went back to working in the darkroom?
Right. It's kind of funny, you think. But even though digital was sort of nice and it was instantaneous, and I actually think when I sort of, I don't know, regressed or backtracked to film photography, something I had once learned so many years ago, it forced me to be very more aware of technique, what I needed to do. You only had 36 shots allotted, and you didn't want to waste any, whereas I think I got pretty lazy with digital. You know, you could turn it on where it takes several frames at once, so hopefully out of those dozens, something nice turned out. And this one really forced me to get it pretty right within, two or three shots.
So now you're teaching darkroom photography. With your students coming in, well, first of all, when you think about how efficient it is in professional settings to use digital photography now, how much is darkroom photography currently being employed?
Honestly, I don't think it's much at all. When people have asked me that they saw that I was teaching a film photography class, I've actually been approached and said, I didn't know those cameras still existed anymore. I didn't know that was still a thing. And I said, it is very hard to find. I think Heartland has a great setup of like a dozen enlargers that I think is probably the nicest that I've heard about in the Central Illinois area. It is a lot easier and immediate to do digital, but I think film photography will really help to help people to kind of slow down, think about the process. And true, this is not going to be something where And that's probably one of the drawbacks. When you take black and white photographs that you develop in the darkroom yourself, these aren't the instant shareable things that you can apply a filter on and share via social media. But I tell you, there is something that's very nice and very gratifying to see something tangibly. I think we all do. I think when it comes to looking at images, we can look at stuff on our phone, but I know that people still go to museums or they actually look at old photo albums to actually kind of see up close, touch them.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of that process and what is gained or lost with doing, I guess you'd call it analog photography.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Many people might not understand what all is involved, period. So could you walk us briefly through the entire process from shooting on film to developing the film and what you have to do to get your finished product?
Right. When you have a 35 millimeter SLR film camera, you know, first of all, you take your film, and when you are able to load your camera just so, you might have an option of 24 or 36 shots, depending if you, maybe if you roll your own film, that could be a lot smaller or a lot larger. Then when the end of the roll is finished, we take it into the film processing area of the darkroom. It involves chemicals. You take out in the dark, complete dark, you remove the film from the canister in the dark, and you kind of have to learn this where you sort of just by feel only insert the film onto a reel and sort of take it up on a spool, and you place it in a light-proof tank that has a hole in it just for pouring in liquids. And this is actually the fun part for me, but you agitate them, which is basically you just kind of swish it around a number of times for, you know, anywhere from 6-7 minutes, a process where you stop and start. And then when you're able to get that out and rinse it and dry it, then you can look on the light table and see which images you'd like to print. And for the printing is another process where you take the negatives onto an enlarger and you can see the image. And I think that's the best part, actually, is when you get that photo and you expose the photo to what you think it would need and just watching it go through the different trays as it comes along.
When you have people that have a little bit of familiarity and they're very comfortable taking digital pictures come into this class, what is the most difficult thing for them to adjust to and learn?
Slow down. Probably just to slow down. And honestly, I did. I took digital photography for a few semesters and through continuing ed. And I was really quite surprised that when I sort of regressed, I don't know, for lack of a better word, and took film photography that, oh, I thought I really understood aperture. I thought I really understood how settings worked. But it was really obvious for me anyway that it was all on me and not something that if I didn't get it right in camera, that I could adjust and tweak later in Photoshop. I really had to learn how to sort of get it right if I wanted to not have to retake more photos.
Well, going back to the beginning of that process, it's really interesting to think now you have somebody that has a digital camera, and depending on the size of their SD card, they're taking hundreds of pictures. That gives you a lot of options, but it also, I would imagine, makes you extremely less selective in what you're capturing in the shot, in your lens, at any particular time. 32 shots is what you said. That
36.
36,
yeah, 36
something
or 24.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you're not just going to go through rolls of film in 10 seconds like you would if you would have that option to do so with the digital camera. So talk about what that kind of forces photographers to do if they're shooting on film.
Right. And honestly, as a beginner, I think I did go through a lot of shots thinking, you know, if you have a certain setting where you adjust the aperture, the shutter speed, how much time and how much light hits the light is able to strike an image on that light-sensitive part of the film, you know, you can actually go and try to make certain adjustments. But yeah, you are sort of in a position where you want to get it just right. And it really is trial and error, but I think it's not going to be one of those things where you take a shot and, oh, I hope this turns out. I think it'll come with time and practice, but it made me consider what I wanted. I really was just taking just dozens and dozens of shots of things I really didn't again, just kind of hope and pray that it will look good versus I'm pretty sure I got that right lighting right. The lighting was just right. And I know I needed to have my camera at a certain type of setting.
That process is so much more slow. Is that a frustration for students that at first they kind of can't wrap their head around that this entire process is going to take so much longer than it would if you were just doing it all digitally?
You're totally right on about that. And I think maybe I speak for just certain generations of people, but I can see it in the way that just, from everything from the processing, like they want to see it. And even when starting to make images and print them, you also, when you are agitating your photos inside each of the individual trays for each process, you don't want to rush things too much, like a flash fry in the pan. You do want to ease into it. And I know, I think that'd be really hard, but I think delayed gratification is probably not a bad thing for people to learn, and that good things, pun intended, develop and take a little bit of time and not just there you are.
Yeah, there's an advantage to slowing things down. They say it's very hard to teach people patience. But that almost forces you to be patient and to think about what you're doing.
Absolutely. I think that's what I found probably more so even than taking the photos on film. Probably my most enjoyable aspect of it is, I enjoy developing the film, but the prints, watching that, it's like Christmas, honestly, just watching that come through and realizing when you look at it and take it out into the light, I can actually make this better. And that, again, is not like something where you can throw a filter on it, make it look cool, which is very interesting because I think there's like a lot of interest in the appeal of getting a digital image that we take on our phone and throwing something on it to make it look like a film photo back in the day. So I don't know.
Well, that raises an interesting point. Modern photographers use Photoshop a lot to get certain effects with the shots that they've taken. And a lot of those tools in Photoshop are actually trying to imitate tools that can be physically created with darkroom photography. And some of them are more successful in doing that or not. Sometimes maybe you're trying to apply a tool onto an image that it's not really the way that would work if you were doing it in the darkroom. Can you talk a little bit about some of the techniques in darkroom photography that people try to recreate in Photoshop?
It's interesting. A little bit of bias will come out in this remark, but I think a lot of edited photos, heavily edited photos, they're beautiful, no doubt. They're just almost flawless to the point where it doesn't look natural. And I think one of the nicest things about film is that you can allow for a little bit of graininess and a little bit of maybe, depending on if you wanted a certain blur, it actually looks intentional. And I'm not sure that I see too many edited photos that want to look like that. I think I do see it in tints, like whether a bluish tint or the reddish tint of certain color film back in, the 80s or 70s. But they can be successful. But I think, again, I'm referring to black and white. There is something there that I think you can try pretty close to replicate it, but I don't know, maybe it's my untrained eye. Perhaps other people can say, they can look at a digital image that's been altered to look like a film photo and think that it was good enough, but I don't know.
Well, and this might be a bit of a tangent in our conversation, but one of the things that I thought was particularly interesting and telling and is an example of what we were talking about just a moment ago, is there are certain filters, and I think in Instagram right off they became very popular, that the filter is trying to make your digital photo look like kind of the...
It has accidents on it?
They look like old Polaroid photos. Now, I know it became a fad a couple of years ago for kids to actually have, again, the Polaroid photos. But back in the 80s, when you would have the giant size of a bread box Polaroid camera,
yep,
those pictures had a certain look to them, which wasn't necessarily at the time that good.
No, it's not. And like when you said that about the bread box, I can remember, do you remember, Steve, like flash cubes?
Yes.
Those things you'd stick on there and they would just, and so I think of some Polaroids, a lot of Polaroids that I had were the face would be really bright flash, but the background would be all dark. And you can achieve that look. in Photoshop by, I'm sure, tweaking a couple of exposure levels and darkening your background. But hey, you could do this just on your own and probably one shot with a film camera.
Yeah, and I guess what's interesting about that is that people really want to emulate that look, which is something that is tied to a physical product that you had. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the value of having the picture that you, as you get it out and are drying it after you've completed the process from beginning to end, darkroom photography, having that in your hand as opposed to just seeing it on a screen, what that does to the properties of the photo and how we think about it.
Yeah, this wasn't actually in reference to my own photographs, but just fairly recently in the last few weeks, a family member asked me if I had certain photos. And I do have some photo albums from my other family members, like square ones, and they were from the 60s. And I had them, and I remember just holding them, and I was able to peer up close and see how it looked. And I suppose you could do that on a camera, just blow it up, zoom in. But there was something just nice when I would just lay them all out and just kind of sit and compare. I don't know that I could ever replicate that same sense of, here, look at my phone, let me scroll up and see if I can find those images. But I'm so grateful for having images that I can actually hold and carry and store that I don't know that I would feel the same way of, hey, my great-grandkids, you want to see what grandma looked like, you know, and pull it up on a phone. I'm not even sure we would have that. I think there'll always be a need somehow for some tangible artifacts of a time before. And I don't even know if those digital devices that we could use to view those images will be available years and years down the line. Maybe. Maybe it'll be better. I don't know.
So one of the things that one can do with a digital camera nowadays is apply a black and white filter or even have the camera setting to be black and white
Sure.
in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But in the darkroom photography class, you're shooting in black and white.
Correct.
Why do that? Why start out with black and white? Is it to really show off what you can do with that style of photography to create an image that's intended to be black and white?
Well, I've not done color film processing. I understand it's actually a lot more complicated, but black and white, so developing in black and white would be a lot simpler. But there is something with black and white, and I love color, don't get me wrong, but when you look at a color image, you're looking at in all the range of tones and hues. But when you turn an image black and white, it becomes sort of abstract. You focus on line and form and things like where the lightest areas in the image are, the darkest areas in the image. You aren't distracted by a garish orange tone or something like that. So I think that we start off that because you can teach simple things like composition, line, and all that with black and white photography.
When you're teaching darkroom photography now, is this something where when people complete this process, they have to find a lab, like the photo lab, a darkroom lab? Or is this something you could actually develop your own pictures, you know, in your bathroom or something like that?
people have. It would be great if somehow online, I actually saw something that were like community darkrooms all across the nation. And they're growing smaller and smaller. I thought, man, we have a great setup here. Hopefully, people are taking these photographs of them for themselves, of loved ones, of things that they enjoy, of landscapes they are proud of and like to have. But yes, you could. Actually, that's how it started with me. After a few film photography classes, I did. And I could find people giving away enlargers and trays and things. And so I did have my own darkroom at home until I downsized and donated back to Heartland, actually. So.
Well, you mentioned this class as being something that is a little bit of a shrinking resource in the nation overall. Do you see a time when photographers might want to learn this and will really have to search to have something like this available? Is this kind of turning into a dying art?
Depending on who you talk to. I know there's a lot of hashtags out there, film is not dead or keep film alive, but it is harder to find. I actually had someone ask me that they had a child at their high school that they were taking darkroom photo, but where do you find film? And I said, where can you find it in town? I said, well, you can at Heartland, but and also online. But it is going to shrink, I think, if there's not a continued interest in wanting to preserve and keep these tangible things with us. And you're right. I would love to see it be revived and maybe not. It won't to the extent of how it was up until the 90s. And when people, if they are able to get into a darkroom, develop their own photos, or even if there are labs that exist in the U.S. that you can send your rolls off to be developed in color, if you happen to take them in color, that they will do that for you. I think it's sort of like, you know, demand. If once people find out and they actually like it, maybe there'll be more of an interest to keep those things around.
Well, Bernadette, thanks so much for coming in and talking about darkroom photography. Appreciate it a lot.
Thanks.
Bernadette Cash teaches darkroom photography at Heartland Community College. For more interviews on art, photography, history, science, and more, check out other Random Acts of Knowledge episodes on iTunes, Spotify, or Audioboom. Thanks for listening.